This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
You know, Jay, a stressful part of playing Survivor was not being able to get things off my chest, since when it came down to it, we were all after the same price.
Yeah. And since you played such an amazing social game, it must have been hard to keep things bottled up.
Absolutely. It was rough having to keep everything inside, big and small things, to stay focused on the game.
And having to do that can have a really negative effect on us, which is one of the reasons that I love therapy.
Exactly. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's all online and made to be convenient and flexible so it can fit your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist.
And you can switch therapists at any time for free, so you're sure you're on a team with the right person.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/onfire today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/onfire.
Hey, Survivor fans, let's talk about a snack that would take that island by storm. Wonderful Pistachios.
Wonderful Pistachios are the undisputed champions of proteins. They pack a punch, boasting 6 grams of protein in every 1 ounce serving. That's over 10% of your daily value. Talk about a powerhouse snack. And let's not forget the lineup. We're talking flavors galore. Sweet chili, salt and pepper, honey roasted. Wonderful Pistachios is like a flavor festival for your taste buds. Perfect for tribal gatherings or on-the-go adventures.
The no-shells option is a game changer. Just grab and go. It's that easy.
So, Survivor Squad, if you want to outwit, outplay, outsnack the competition, make Wonderful Pistachios your go-to snack.
Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Welcome to On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. I'm Jeff Probst, the host and showrunner of Survivor. Each week, I'm joined by Jay Wolf, Survivor fan, and the producer of this podcast. Hello, Jay.
What's up, Jeff?
We are also joined by the winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares. What's up, Dee?
What's up?
So each week, we dissect the big moments of the most recent episode of Survivor and bring you insights from the points of view of the fan, the player, and the producer. Let's get into it. Episode 11, Survivor 46. Jay, what stood out?
Well, guys, we did it. We made it to the final several. And we're up early the morning after tribal. And I mean, the cameras are still in night vision early. And yet, the game is already on.
You sleep okay?
Oh, no, I did not. It's all good. I'm, like, shocked Tiff didn't play her idol.
I guess that means it's time to start looking, right?
So what follows is a really fun sequence of everybody on the beach going out to look for this idol all across the island, except for Liz, who was snoozing along back at camp. But I was really impressed, Jeff, because I was so actively involved in them looking for the idol, realizing later I've seen this on Survivor for so many years. Right. And yet here I am still actively invested in watching an idol hunt.
Well, I love hearing that because I think this is an area we've gotten a lot better at in terms of showing the audience how difficult it is to find something in a jungle. As you saw just in this sequence, they look for a very long time and often over a series of many days. So they're trying to keep track of where they've already looked. Maybe they team up with an alliance partner and say, I'll take this part of the jungle or I'll take that tree, whatever it is. So this is an area where we literally sat down and said, we're not doing a good enough job. So let's reevaluate and reassess how we do this. And we really leaned into how we shoot these idol hunts now. We have much more variety in terms of camera angles and where we put the camera in relation to the player. Are they in the foreground? Are they in the background? All of that stuff. And then we also spend a lot more time in our interviews so that a player like D can say, all right, here's the deal. I've been doing this for 5 days. I'm down to one last section of the jungle. And now you're leaning in going, will she find it here? And then with 90 minutes, you have the time to put all that together and show it. And the goal is always the same. You want to take the audience deeper inside the process of being a player. And in this case, it's them looking for an idol.
Well, I'd like to take the audience even deeper inside the process of being a player looking for an idol by asking Dee to take us inside the process of being a player looking for an idol. What's it like when you're actually out there doing it?
It's a lot of fun. it's also equally frustrating because, and I want to emphasize on what Jeff mentioned, it's a series of days, because what the audience might perceive as one day is really 3 to 4 days of constant looking. And it's why you hear players mentioning on the show itself, wow, they make it look so easy on TV. That's because you're hit pretty quickly with the realization, oh my God, it's not that easy. Not that anything's easy on Survivor, right? But it's an entire process. You want to make sure you're not making it too obvious, so you can't be gone from camp for too long. You got to have a line in mind if you get caught searching and or when you get back to camp. And everything, I mean everything in the jungle blends in together, guys. So anytime you also stick your hand somewhere, prepare for an army of ants to attack you and start crawling on you. Top of that, you're bumping into spider webs all the time. So hoping you don't get bitten by any, because imagine how bad it'd be to be medevaced just by an allergic reaction or a spider bite. I mean, these are thoughts that we constantly think about. So anytime you find yourself in a new spot where you're sure the idol's going to be, guess what? You're wrong. So it's a process. It's an entire process of constant disappointment that you really need to be okay with, especially this deep into the game, because you have to be even more cautious with that feeling of disappointment and how you react to that emotion, because you don't want anyone feeling that vibe from you.
Zen and the Art of Idol Hunting on Survivor seems like maybe that'll be the next book in that series. All right, well, we'll come back to the idol as it does, or should I say does not, come into play later. But the next moment I want to talk about is this school of thought that's starting to emerge here with only 7 players left in the game. I need to focus on my individual game and start taking care of me.
I've been playing this game with Maria since day one, and we have been lockstep. We've been talking about going to the final 3 together, but Q is, as far as I can tell, in Maria's pocket, and I want him out of the game. So this move and the buildup to this move is really where I have seen my thinking and my route to the end maybe start to diverge from Maria's.
So Dee, how do you manage to keep an alliance warm while also navigating that soon, like in 4 days soon, it's you against the world?
That's a great question. This is when I started mapping out my route to the end. These are crucial moments, final 7. It's time where you kind of want to make sure that your individual bonds are also intact, because you never know when you'll use an unlikely ally, considering already voting out your number one, right? But it's the time where you also have to solidify trust and reaffirm your loyalty and your commitment with your alliance or ally, right? In this case, it's Maria, even if you're lying to them, which it gets a lot harder. And that can look like maybe emphasizing, hey, we got to stick together. You know, we're here till the end. And we're all running around the jungle telling this to each other. this is true. So I think it's just an eerie, unspoken agreement between your alliance members, because it's now a game of, I got to get you before you get me. And if I have a feeling that you're coming for me, I got to get you out first. So either way, it's part of the game. And I think that good players like Charlie recognize that and can respect that.
Okay, so for you, Jeff, you've now seen this go down, final 7, 46 times. It's the last week of the game. How is it different and how has it changed?
Yeah, historically, 7 has always been a very big point in the show. I think for a few reasons. The first is simple math. In theory, you only need 4 people to take somebody out. Much more difficult to do in the new era, because finding 4 people who can and do and should trust each other is really tough. But it's there. That is a factor. I think the other reason is timing. That if you try to make a big move at 9... that might be a little too early. And obviously, if you wait until 5, that could be a little too late. So by default, 7 is a great strategic time to try to make a big move, because the end is in sight. Like Dee said, this is when she started to formulate my final path to the end.
Yep.
I think the third thing that comes into play is jury management, because you also have to think about in what order, if you had your way, would you prefer to vote people out? And what makes all of this very difficult is what Dee said, is that every single player is doing it. And that's why holding an idol is so appealing. From the couch, it's very easy to say, oh, you should always play your idol, guarantee that you stay in the game another day. But if you're playing to win, then you're always making calculated risks. That's the cornerstone of any Survivor strategy. So you need to be clear about the risk you are taking. Sometimes you get lucky. Your instincts were right. Everything works out. But more often, you're going to make a mistake and it will hurt your game in some way, hopefully not in a fatal way. But I'm going to say it over and over. You can't win Survivor by playing to not lose. So getting voted out with an idol in your pocket doesn't make you a bad Survivor player. It makes you a risky Survivor player who either didn't read the room correctly or didn't have the right information, which is most likely. But either way, you made a calculated risk that you were going to be okay, so you didn't play it. It's a huge part of having an idol, to play or not to play. So when in doubt, play the first time as though you're playing for the second time, because second-time players never say woulda, coulda, shoulda, and the Hall of Fame is filled with great players who have never won Survivor. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, one of the most important decisions of the season came down to rock, paper, scissors. We'll talk about Maria's difficulty with deciding who to bring on the reward and the calculated risk that comes with winning a reward. Be right back.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
You know, Jay, a stressful part of playing Survivor was not being able to get things off my chest, since when it came down to it, we were all after the same price.
Yeah. And since you played such an amazing social game, it must have been hard to keep things bottled up.
Absolutely. It was rough having to keep everything inside, big and small things, to stay focused on the game.
And having to do that can have a really negative effect on us, which is one of the reasons that I love therapy.
Exactly. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's all online and made to be convenient and flexible so it can fit your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist.
And you can switch therapists at any time for free, so you're sure you're on a team with the right person.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/onfire today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/onfire.
Listen, wearing the same clothes for 26 days straight on Survivor really made me realize the importance of buying high-quality, long-lasting clothes. That's why I love Quince. They have timeless, well-made pieces that last for years and don't go out of style. Quince has all the seasonal must-haves like 100% European linen shirts, performance polos, and versatile flow-knit activewear. Buying pieces from Quince means that I don't have to keep buying new clothes every year, which is better for my wallet and the environment. I recently got a super chic Italian leather tote from Quince, and I'm loving how it looks. The best part about Quince is that by partnering directly with top factories, they're able to keep prices super affordable. I'm talking 50 to 80% cheaper than similar brands. And the other best part is that Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. I love that. Upgrade your wardrobe. Go to quince.com/survivor for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/survivor to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/survivor.
Welcome back to On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. All right, Jay, next moment.
All right, let's get into this challenge, which combined two amazing elements. You had the extendable pole ball balancing portion, and then you had this like flat snake maze. And we had a moment on the snake maze where the game opened up and every single person was competing for what felt like it could have been, I don't know, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. And it was super fun. And I was watching it, and it wasn't one of those Survivor challenges where it's like, experience pain until you literally can't anymore. It was a game of endurance and skill in a way that felt like, hey, a normal person like me would have a really fun time playing this. So it got me thinking, when these challenges are designed, we know the Dream Team runs them to test them before you put them into play. But do the other producers or the crew ever get together, maybe crack a beer, and place a friendly wager and play these challenges?
Well, it's such a great question and something we haven't talked about, because yes, at times we do bring in people from other departments to run our challenges. And there are two reasons we do this. The first is there are some challenges at certain points in the season where we specifically want to see people who are not necessarily as fit as a Dream Teamer. Or maybe someone who isn't as young as a Dream Teamer, or someone who isn't as agile as a Dream Teamer, so that we can get a look at how this might play when we have players who are exhausted and they've lost a lot of weight and they've lost muscle, so that we're getting a better representation. The other reason we do this is what you're getting at, which is camaraderie with your crew. We have a giant team that makes Survivor. Several hundred people living together on this small little island. And most of them, you never hear about. But without them, we don't have a show. So you take a department like our accounting department. We have a full accounting team on location every single day. They're there long before I get there and long after I leave. They have to be on location every day because we have hundreds of bills that have to be paid every day. All sorts of things. It could be camera related or boat related, or we need wood to build a challenge, or all the food we get to feed our crew. We have dozens of land agreements with landowners. So you can see how this works, and they never get out of the office. Mm. So every so often, it's fun to say, hey, we need a couple of people from accounting. Can you come out and run a challenge this afternoon? That gives them a chance to get on a boat, cruise across the ocean to a small island, and then test themselves while putting themselves on display in front of all their coworkers. So it's a really fun afternoon, and it does exactly what you said, Jay, is it really brings harmony, and it's one of the many layers that help build a very cool morale on location in Fiji.
Mm. Dee, are there any challenges that you wish you could bring home to your friends and crack it out when the time's right?
Yes, there is one non-physical challenge that I love, and I have a quick story time on. When my cast got back from Fiji and we got together for the first time, we decided to play touchy subjects with each other. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't watched that challenge and you're new, touchy subjects is a challenge where Jeff asks you questions and you got to flip over a name. And the questions are ruthless and they can hurt a lot of feelings, which is what happened to us.
To give some perspective, it would be something like, who's the most annoying person in the group? It's flat out.
Ruthless, which is amazing. But I was just thinking, actually, how fun it would be to watch this group play touchy subjects. Would you ever bring it back in the future?
Yeah, it's an interesting idea. I think doing touchy subjects today would be a calculated risk for us because it can reveal so much information that it might steal some of the mystery for what is going to play out. So I think you'd have to reimagine it in the new era. And maybe, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, don't hold me to this, but maybe the way you would do it would be maybe at the merge and you say, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a check-in. Mm-hmm. And we're going to play touchy subjects. And you are all going to see where you stand in this tribe right now.
Oh.
So that you can then figure out what you need to do to change where you are in the group so you can stay alive in this game. Because what is fun about that idea is we're leaning into the unpredictable uncertainty and ever-changing alliances of the new era to say you're not dead because they voted you most annoying. But this isn't looking good in terms of winning the game if you get to the end. And then it becomes something where the player can say, wow, I didn't know I was so annoying, kind of like Emily did in her season, and start to change their behavior. Then maybe there's something there. I'll take that back to the team. Great idea, Dee.
All right, let's go to the next moment. Challenge finishes. Maria wins by centimeters. Venus is at the end first, but her ball misses. Barely. It opens the door. Maria takes it. Literally centimeters decided both of their fates. It also decided who Maria would get to bring on the pizza delivery reward. And that decision was difficult, but it ended like any great tense moment with rock, paper, scissors.
I've never seen a moment like this, ever. 46 seasons, it has never taken this long. Nobody has given this much thought. That's not a criticism, that's just an observation.
Liz and Q, rock, paper, scissors.
So Q goes on to win the rock, paper, scissors battle. Paper covers rock, and that's the end of that. Jeff, having seen this tense moment play out, my first question for you, are you thinking about reintroducing rock, paper, scissors back into the Survivor game design?
Well, rock, paper, scissors was actually embedded in the game from early on. We used to use it to decide a lot of simple things. We wouldn't always include it in the episode, but it's been there. By the way, talk about an elegant game design. Rock, paper, scissors looks so simple, but it's brilliant. It's a great example of a zero-sum game. One person wins, the other person loses. And what makes it so clean is there are only three possible outcomes: a win, a loss, or a draw. I would love to have rock, paper, scissors back in the game in a more prominent way. It will always just come down to when and where and why you use it. Because at times, like this, it's fun to see something play out in real time in public. Other times, you might want to add a layer of secrecy. So everything is dependent on the function that you want it to serve.
So more broadly speaking, the fact that this deliberation took Maria so long, what does it say about the power of reward challenges and the onus of picking them? And Jeff, is it something you consider as you escalate these rewards throughout the game?
Reward challenges are right up there with Final Three versus Final Two and the fire-making showdown in terms of people having very strong opinions. So from a production standpoint, yes, we are very aware that rewards escalate as the number of players drop. So every decision becomes that much more difficult. That's 50% of the intention behind a reward is to force decisions. But those same difficult decisions also come with power. Yes, there are players who are disappointed, and that could come back to haunt you depending on who you choose, but there are also players who are grateful. And that could be the deciding vote at the final three, depending on who you choose. There's also the very clear element of fueling your body, and sometimes equally important, your soul, by having some food in your belly. I've said my philosophy. If I was playing a game like Survivor, personally, I want to be in charge of the power in the game whenever possible. And if I make a mistake, okay, it will cost me. But if I make it to the final three, then I can stand up and say, all right, here's what I did. Here are the risks I took and how they paid off. Here are the risks I took that failed and how I had to overcome them. But the more decisions and the more risks you take, the more game you have to use to make your case at the end.
All right, Dee, I want to ask you, what is your feeling about opting for a game like Rock, Paper, Scissors to be your strategy when deciding who to bring on a reward?
So I don't really love the rock, paper, scissors decision, just because as a player, I don't think that you should leave things up for chance. I think you need to make your decisions, whether it backfires or not. And I don't know, let's see what happens with Maria not choosing Liz in this huge reward.
Fair enough. Jeff, I wanted to ask logistically, since this reward is at camp, are there designated zones on the beach that are like pizza zone? And then on the other side, no pizza zone, do not cross this line. I mean, it seems simple enough, but how does it break out?
Yeah, and well, you got it. It's very similar to how we logistically handle doing a player interview. When we do that, we take them to an area, and that area is off limits to other players, and we guard it. I mean, there's nobody's going to get in and overhear Dee's interview. But it's the same thing with a reward, because what you want is for the players who have earned it to not only have the privacy to eat without feeling guilty, but you also want them to be able to talk openly about strategy. So we do the same thing. In that case, you would have almost two areas, the area for the people who didn't win the reward and the area for the people who did. And the reason this really matters, and I've said this before, but we really do want the players to have the freedom to do whatever they want, play however you want, sneak out of camp, yell at somebody, throw a challenge, hide a machete. It's your game. And I have heard, I won't mention any names, but I have heard from some former players who've gone on to do other similar shows that that's not always the case, that sometimes there's a little more handling of those situations. We do not do that. Dee, you can speak to this.
Yeah.
But did you ever feel that you didn't have the freedom to do whatever you wanted?
No, not at all. When you're out there, you really do feel like it's a different reality. It's your world and it's our rules. Obviously, we follow the rules of making sure you don't go to a certain area in the island where someone's doing a confessional. But other than that, we make our own rules. It's so much fun.
I mean, we've seen it, Jeff. Shout out to Holly, who did throw some crocodile shoes into an ocean once upon a time. Let's get into the next moment. And this moment is born out of who gets taken on the pizza reward. Liz is obviously very, very upset about the fact that she didn't get to go on yet another reward. And then she comes to this kind of brilliant realization. I'm not going to do it justice by explaining it, so let me play it.
I just can't stand Q, and I just don't know why you would want to make him happy. Because he's such an ass to everyone. He does nothing around camp. He used all the firewood in like 2 hours. Liz, I'm done not expressing myself.
Okay, yeah, go for it.
That is my mindset, Maria. I guess that's what I've learned in Survivor, is like I've spent my whole life just letting myself be angry and not speaking what I'm really feeling for the sake of someone else's feelings. And I think, honestly, this sounds crazy, I think that's why I have so many allergies, because I've suppressed my own self for so long that my body started attacking things.
Pretty powerful.
That was deep, yeah.
Yeah, in the midst of what started off as, I guess what you'd have to call a hangry rant, sorry, Liz, but that's what it felt like to me, she came to this absolutely breathtaking life realization.
Yeah, well, that is the full intention of our game design, Joseph Campbell. And this big picture shift in terms of how we saw Survivor was definitely influenced by me. I fully own it. The journey of Survivor is what appealed to me the first time I heard Mark talk about the show, even before I met him. And when we got together, I said, dude, you're doing Joseph Campbell, this big life adventure that's going to take you out of your ordinary world and thrust you into a new world. And when I was given a leadership role, it was one of the three big things I focused on was creating a game that would result in an experience, and then adding more visual layers to make the experience more cinematic for the viewer, and then finding the players who either needed or wanted this kind of life-changing experience. It is the hero's journey. And if you're into it, then you get it, and you feel it, and you crave it. And if you're not into it, you think this is ridiculous when players talk like this. They're just whiny and weak, and why did they apply in the first place? And ironically, it's those people who need this experience more than anyone else.
I agree.
One more short break, and when we're back, I got more snacks at Tribal, and that's because, again, it's a heck of a show. We'll talk about Venus's boat out. Be right back.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back to On Fire. All right, last up, Tribal Council.
Yeah, and as you said before the break, Jeff, this Tribal Council was another show. And you seem to see it coming, Jeff. You brought licorice with you. And, you know, I didn't know that about you. Are you a big licorice guy?
Well, here's the thing. I'm not really a licorice guy, but when I pack for location, this weird thing happens. I end up shipping out snacks that I don't normally eat because I know I'm going to crave them. Like what I've learned over the years, potato chips and nuts. Mm. I love the salt at the end of a hot, sweaty day. Then I always bring some chocolate. Again, I'm not a big chocolate eater, but I devour it on location. And I always bring red vines. I don't know why, because I rarely eat them. So those red vines were from my personal stash. I just grabbed some before Tribal. But now that I'm thinking about it, maybe I should start like a Tribal Council snack pack that I bring to location.
Oh my goodness.
Well, just for nights like this. I remember I met a host from another country who does Survivor in another country. And I watched how he did the show, and he played it very differently from me. He was dressed in beautiful, flowing, safari-like vacation resort wear. I mean, he had a great look, and he would often have a very fancy cocktail or something that really set him apart from the players, and he used it as a way to taunt them, kind of like, look what I have. Don't you wish you had this drink? And, you know, that was just his own way of leaning into the deprivation. I obviously took a very different approach, but if Tribal continues to be this entertaining, I may have to reassess.
I don't know. I kind of want to play devil's advocate here, because when I first saw you bring out the popcorn, don't get me wrong, I was cracking up. But when you brought out the licorice and you shared it, I kind of thought to myself, Jeff, what are you doing? This can't be a pattern.
What's your fear?
So, okay, dude, I've been on this podcast for 11 episodes now. Do you know how many times I've heard you say, new era, you got to earn everything? What did I do as a player to earn the licorice?
entertained me.
Right, but I didn't earn the licorice.
Oh, I think you did. I very much disagree. If I could have given Q an entire bag of popcorn, I might have. I'm kidding. But Dee, I gotta say, I really am, and I mean this, starting to understand even more deeply why you were so successful in your professional life outside of Survivor and why you were so successful on Survivor, because you really are starting to lean in to the show as a producer. You just told me that you were worried that I was going to start doing something that would break the game.
Yeah.
That's what we do all the time. We look at everything and evaluate it, but we also remind ourselves we want the game to be uncertain for us as well. Am I going to start bringing snacks to tribal? Absolutely not. That's not going to happen. My decisions aren't always good ones, but I try to play the game that I'm doing as a host in the same way I encourage the player to play the game, which is try something. And if it works, try it again. And if it doesn't, try something else.
Right. I will say that tribal was phenomenal.
Yeah, let's get into that tribal itself. So the show begins one way or the other, and Q and Venus get into it. Charlie has a huge decision to make, which is basically going to set up which one of the two alliances he's going to continue with through the end. And Liz screams twice. Ultimately, despite a very confusing vote from Ben for Kenzie, Q ends up staying bulletproof. Venus takes the votes, and most notably, her idol for the third tribal in a row stays in her pocket. So the question I have to ask, is this just chance or is there something more going on here than just, I want the idol for Final Five? And again, Jeff, you said this earlier, from the couch, it's easy to shout, play it.
Right.
But three in a row is a trend. Mm. So what's your take?
Great game play. That is what this is. When players are playing at this level, the blindsided player never knows it's them. And I know from the couch, you might think, oh, I would know, but I doubt it.
Yeah.
Getting voted out with an idol is rarely due to a truly bad game decision by the player. 99% of the time, it's the result of great gameplay by the other players. That's why it's called a blindside.
So, Dee, the common refrain is play it if you don't feel safe. But the whole thing about this game is that you probably should actually never feel safe. Mm-hmm. So, do you feel like Tiff and Hunter and Venus now did make a mistake by holding on to their idols?
I mean, yeah, ultimately, it was a mistake, I think, because it's great gameplay for the players orchestrating the blind side, right? But it's a mistake on Hunter, Tiff, and Venus's side. A mistake equals a wrong judgment, right? So they misjudged the accuracy of the information that they knew before tribal. And I'm willing to bet that each one of them thought so hard about whether or not to play their idols. And unfortunately, not playing it resulted in Jeff snuffing their torch. So I think that... That's kind of a regret that's probably going to last with them even after the game. So it was a mistake, really, because ultimately it led them out of the game.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to counter on that because I think when you say mistake, it's with hindsight.
Correct.
You know, and I know that I've never played. So, I mean, I am ripe for criticism to even have a thought on this. I get that. But I do have the viewer seat. And what I see is, I mean, there are episodes, I'm thinking of Hunter, When Tribal got crazy and he looked at Kenzie and said, I just don't want to be played. And Kenzie said, no, you're not. You're not. Mm. In that moment, he doesn't know if Kenzie's telling him the truth, but nobody else is, or if everybody else is telling him the truth, but Kenzie's lying. So he has to make a decision.
Right.
It's hard to judge it as a mistake rather than great gameplay by everybody else, which is why you thought you were safe when you weren't.
Absolutely. I think that just goes to show, too, that I mean, just players are just getting so much better at lying and hustling.
Yes.
Well, ultimately, it did lead to Venus leaving. And so, Jeff, I wanted to ask any last thoughts on Venus as we see her move to the jury bench.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about her in earlier pods, a little about her story and how that helps you understand the way she behaves with other people. But when I looked at my notes, I wrote smashing star, super confident, great Aww. Smile, engaging conversationalist, will drive story and will play the game, capital letters, hard. Mm-hmm. And I think we got all of that and more from Venus. Loved having her on the show.
We did.
Definitely. I totally agree. All right, let's get into some fan questions. And as a reminder, I got a fan question this week that's like, hello, intern who's reading this. There's no intern.
Oh,
it's me. I read the questions and then I will read it here. You can email them to us at survivorshadow@cbs.com. The first question comes from Ben. He writes, Jeff, also J&D, huge fan of the show and the podcast, hoping to get on the show myself one day. My question's about the rites of passage. Watching through old seasons, I often chuckle as the contestants struggle for something to say about other Survivor players that have been voted out. So I'd love to hear how Jeff feels and remembers the rites of passage, why they started, and ultimately, how did they end?
Well, Ben, you hit it on the head. I hated the rites of passage because, I mean, Ben said it. You could see the player struggling to say anything that was in any way kind or interesting. It's why I never liked it from a storytelling standpoint, because it didn't move our story forward. And it was coming at the climax of the show, and it didn't provide any information about the players that were still in the game. And I think that's just where the show was, where the game was, the types of people that were playing the game. But in that era, it didn't serve any function. So if you decided you really wanted to hear people talking about the players who were no longer in the game, you would design something that in the process would give you information about the players still in the game. That would be the point. They're the ones still playing. And I got to say, even hearing me just say that, it's of zero interest right now. I don't like the rites of passage. I hope we never do it again. And I've never missed it.
Fair enough. All right, we got question number two from Noah. Hi, On Fire. I'm going to be on a Survivor season coming up soon. The producers just don't know it yet. So I have a question directed towards D. If someone on my season asks, who is my favorite Survivor player? Should I be honest or could I just give them an answer that might benefit my game? My concern is if I say Tony, for example, that they might view me as a threat since he's someone who's played very aggressively. But if I say Wu, then they might trust me more since he's someone who played very loyal. Thanks for your help. All right, this one's kind of funny because we saw it happen this season with Q and Mo. Mo says she wanted to play like Aubrey and Q immediately didn't like that. I think you should always give answers that benefit your game. And it's important to be mindful of who is asking this question, because you can say my favorite player is Tony, but that doesn't necessarily mean you'll play like Tony, right? So maybe you can diffuse it a little bit by saying, my favorite player is Tony, but like everyone's favorite player is Tony, but I don't really have his personality. Then again, you can just avoid the topic all in all and just say Woo. Regardless, I think you'll be fine with whoever you say is your favorite player, as long as it's believable, because people can really sniff that out. But I will say though, even though I think it's a great question, it really doesn't come up as much when you're playing. And I do think there's bigger concerns and bigger questions that you have to ask yourself when you're preparing to play the game.
All right. Question number three is from Beth. She writes, hi, Jeff, J and D. Love Survivor, love On Fire. My question is about the life-sustaining water. How is it there just happens to be a water well in the middle of nowhere? I'm thirsty to know. Thanks for quenching my curiosity.
Nice question. Well, we provide them fresh water, and it's with an obvious reason. You can go a very long time without food, as you see, but you can only go about 3 days without water before you die. I mean, it's crazy. When our doctors explain it to me, and they do it over and over so that I really get it, they will say dehydration happens very fast. So you can have somebody who goes from feeling a little thirsty and a little bit tired on day one to total organ failure by day three. And on that note, that's it for this week's episode of On Fire. If you enjoy the show and you have a moment, please give us a rating. It helps us grow.
And if you really want to go for it, you can leave us a review like this one that comes from Professor Carey on Apple Podcasts that says, though this is hugely popular podcast, it feels intimate and secret. My husband doesn't listen to it, his loss, but I do. And each week when we watch the show together, I feel like I have insider information that's only for me. Sometimes I tell him things I learned from the podcast, but some things I kind of just keep for myself. Hey, you never know. Maybe someday Survivor will do an old folks edition and we could be competing against each other.
Oh, that was a nice comment.
That was.
If you do leave us a review, we might just read it here. So please go do that wherever you listen to podcasts.
There's a brand new episode of Survivor every Wednesday at 8, 7 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. And immediately following that episode, there's a new episode of this podcast, On Fire. See you then.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.